Hi, I'm Elizabeth Dawson, and you're listening to our show right now, Ways to Love Your Money, which has been inspired by our book, Wealth by Design, which is a tell for the future here. We have a great guest on our show, Al Casito, and he's actually from Michigan, and he is in a similar world to what I do, and it's about income planning, which is the most important part when it comes to retirement planning as a whole. One of the things that I say, and you've heard me say it on this show before, is that we can't afford to make mistakes. We want to retire, stay retired, and no one wants to hear that they have to go back to work. So without further ado, I want to say thank you for joining us on the show today, Al. It's a pleasure to have you here and to share your wisdom with us as well and all the listeners.
Elizabeth, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So tell us a little bit about where you are. You're in Michigan. You're working really hard, but I know we've talked a little bit about this too, that a lot of the people that you're working with that are close to retirement are really focused on what their pension is going to afford them, as well as maybe Social Security, but then they have some additional assets too. So tell us a little bit about what's on people's minds that you're talking to right now.
Well, I think what's on people's mind, it really comes down to money. There was a time during my career, this is my 24th year of doing this,
okay.
And there was a time in my career where most people were worried about how are they going to handle health, and health issues were the number one issue.
Sure.
And really, when people come in now, their number one concern really is, am I going to run out of money?
Mm-hmm.
And how long is my money going to last? Are they worried if their pensions are going to last? What's going to happen with inflation? What's going to happen with long-term care? All those kind of issues. And so that's what's been primarily on most of the people that we speak to.
Sure.
Is they care about, will they have enough? And really, it really comes down to is they all really want to just maintain their lifestyle. And they all want to know, can what they put away with what they're getting in pensions and Social Security will suffice for them to live that lifestyle that they wanted.
Right. And you know, this is a conversation that we've talked with many people about, and their concern about what we call the spend down of their assets if they do have a health event, if they do have a long-term care event. And most people are kind of just flying by the seat of their pants, if you will, not thinking that it's going to ever happen to them. But the statistics are so high that we will all, after the age of 65, have some kind of a health event. And you know, how do you address that with the people that you're talking to right now?
Well, it's something that we bring to the forefront. You know, we always ask, are they prepared to self-fund for any mm-hmm. any unforeseen long-term care, or have they made contingency plans to take care of those issues? And frankly, what we find, Elizabeth, is that probably as high as maybe 90% of the individuals out there have made zero allowances for, you know, we all have that syndrome of it's never going to happen to us.
Sure.
But yet you and I know that the statistics are super high. 60% of individuals will in a marriage will experience some type of long-term care,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and women more than men will experience long-term care more than men. So that's an issue that's been out there, and it's an issue that that I think everyone needs to look at and really put into their planning. And it's something that we kind of always kind of put to the side
mm-hmm.
and not really focused on.
Well, I think you nailed it, because people don't want to think it's going to ever happen to them. But, you know, they say between 40, 50, 60% of the population over the age of 65, you know, ARP and Social Security and the government say that about 60% of us are going to need some kind of, you know, health coverage or something to protect us in the event of a health event. And it's a concern. We want to avoid the spend down. So if we are concerned about running out of money, that's one way we could run out of money really quick, you know, if we don't have a good game plan for that.
Yeah, that's a quick game changer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're looking at, I don't know what it is over there in your area. I know that we run here just on average for 1 year of convalescent, we run mm-hmm. about $75,000 per year.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it goes, because we talk about this quite a bit, but, you know, if it's a skilled nursing facility or home care, we're around $50,000 to $55,000, and that's not full-time, that's part-time. And then for a private room, not someone with a roommate, it's about $136,000 a year in a long-term care facility here in San Diego County. So, yeah, these are big dollars. And some people, they can afford to, you know, pay for a health event maybe for, you know, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. But, boy, if they're part of that 20% that's going to live 10, 12, 15 years, and they think that the government's going to take care of it, and they'll have to spend down all their assets so that the government takes care of them, I don't know that that's a good game plan, you know, and what if there's a surviving spouse, right? So I'm glad that it's something that you talk to people about, because for us, we talk about those things as well. And I think it's so important, because when you retire and or you're thinking about retirement, let's say you're 3 years, 5 years, 7 years away, or even 10 years for that matter, at least you're being proactive and you're thinking about it. But, you know, planning for a health event should be planned for in the process, too. And we can't just be procrastinators thinking, oh, gosh, it's never going to happen to us. But having the game plan that the cash flow is going to be there to do what we want and also control where we want to have the care.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why it's important that when you're preparing for retirement is that you have a holistic approach, that someone mm-hmm. is taking a holistic approach to you, sure. because it really goes far beyond your portfolio.
Sure.
All the issues that come up during the retirement cycle mm-hmm. and the journey through retirement.
Mm-hmm. So when people are trying to actually plan for retirement and they're trying to plan for their income, and let's say their guaranteed amount of income, maybe it's coming from Social Security, but the bigger part is maybe coming from a pension. How do you kind of piece it all together? Because they might still have a 401k or a 403b out there. How do you piece it all together?
Well, when it comes to pensions and Social Security, you know, number one, the pension, we have no option. The pension will start as soon as retirement starts. So that's sure. an income flow that we know that we're always going to count on, at least while the pensions are still viable. Mm-hmm. The pieces get a little more murky is when do we kick in Social Security? When do we kick in our own investments? Mm-hmm. And how do we put that together? Because tax issues come into play,
sure.
all those things come into play, and sure. and it's not cookie cutter. I mean, there's over 500 different ways of calculating Social Security.
Yes.
And that alone is a huge mm-hmm. deal. So as we're getting ready to navigate, the thing is really to look at not just what the pension is going to produce, not just what your investments are going to produce mm-hmm. and what Social Security is going to produce, is how do you combine that and when is the best time to merge that?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to that is not simple, because we have clients that have started Social Security and pensions right at 62.
Right.
We have
right.
clients where we started the pension and not started the Social Security till 70 mm-hmm. and used up some of the investments that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where it really gets tricky, because I think the biggest challenge that I see with people that I sit down with
mm-hmm.
is that they have a hard time making that transition from the accumulation phase mm-hmm. to the distribution phase.
You couldn't have said it better. Yes, that's absolutely true.
It is, and what I tell my clients is that the strategies that got us there mm-hmm. are not typically the ones that are going to get us there and enjoy that lifestyle that
right.
we wanted to continue.
Right.
To distribute from the assets that we're distributing from. And we're distributing from assets that were never meant to be distributing assets, but were meant to be accumulation assets.
Sure.
To me, as a person who works with individuals and counseling people and coaching
mm-hmm.
people,
mm-hmm.
is that the important is understanding that the distribution phase
yeah.
is a completely different series of strategies mm-hmm. and techniques that are used so that we can survive our journey.
Well, this is what we say too, is money behaves completely different in the distribution phase versus the accumulation phase. And, you know, this is where another anxiety comes from for people, where they, you know, they see their money and might have been growing, but now all of a sudden it's starting to go down, even though the market might be going up, but it's going down because they're taking more and more distributions out. And if it's 100% that they're dependent upon those dollars, that's when the anxiety of running out of money really does come together. So yes, it is about looking at how that money behaves, how those investments behave when we are in retirement, because we're not adding to them anymore, but we're taking from them, and they still have to work just as hard. So it's the psychology of money, right?
Absolutely.
And how people really kind of grasp that psychology of money and make it make sense. So what are some of the other things that actually come to conversation when you're with, you know, clients that you're working with now or people that you're talking to or trying to educate? What are some of the other things that are concerns for them?
Well, there's two areas of education. One is when it comes back to income, the income mm-hmm. conversation.
Yes.
Is that I think people fail to see, you know, in Michigan, we're a very heavy pension state.
Sure.
A lot of people come with pretty decent pensions from wherever they worked and everything like that. And you add Social Security on top of that. So the normal income is pretty high here. So everybody looks at today. Everybody looks at today and they look at themselves like, wow, today I am okay. Yes. Everything is fine. But they fail to look 5, 10, 15 years down the line, because one of the things that I share with people when we're educating them is that, listen, every 12 years or so, you're going to need 50% more income just to stay the same.
And that's a staggering percentage. People are thinking, how is that possible? You know, because we're talking about an inflation gap, right? We're talking about a cost of living inflation gap for what's going to cost more in the future. But wow, 50%. That's
every 12 years or so, you're going to need 50% just to stay the same.
Wow.
So when you're looking at that and people are saying, well, geez, my pension is this, and it might grow or not grow depending on what's going here. Social Security, we might get the COLA, we might not get a COLA.
Right.
But at the end, there's going to be a time where you're going to have to dip into your assets. You're going to have to dip into your assets. Like for us, we work a lot with qualified money, 401ks and IRAs and things like that. And understanding that that money is going to be coming out. So the education of required minimum distributions has been a really big topic for us over the last couple of years.
Yes.
Because again, when you start distributing money, it's full of gotchas. And every time you make a move or you look around and you make the wrong move, then that costs you time.
Sure.
And one of the things that we really try to educate people on is that, you know, when we were working, when they were working, time was their ally. Now that they're retired, time is really becoming your enemy. So years in recovery, every time we take a step backwards, you know, if we lose 50% of our assets like we did in 2008.
Sure.
It takes 100% just to get back to zero.
Okay. Yes, it does. Yeah.
It does. So, and you know, that recovery from 2008 took about 6.5 years for it to get back to where you were.
Right.
And if we look at the dip that happened in 2000 to 2003, that took 7 years to get to 2007. So you start putting those, numbers to your age and saying, man, if I make a mistake, it's going to cost me dearly.
Sure.
Going forward.
Well, I think it's a powerful message. It's something that we talk to people about quite a bit as well, because even from 2000 to 2003, when the market started to recover and it took up till basically 2007 for it to all crash again. So that's why they call it the lost decade, right? You know, they call it from, you know, the early 2000s to probably more like 2012, 2013, before the money that they had was really recovering over that period of time. We get amnesia, you know, we get a little amnesia and wonder, well, gosh, what happened? What happened to all that? Well, we don't have the same time, just like you said, and it, you know, time can be your enemy when you're in retirement because you can't wait another 12 years for that money to come back. And just like you said as well, after 12 years, you need 50% more income. Well, if we have 50% loss in our income and we have to take 100% of, you know, to get back to where we started, that's going to be a tremendous amount of risk. And that's one of those myths that we always want to dispel right away and kind of get out of the way of these high losses. And most people I'll talk to now, they'll say, well, gosh, you know, we're going to have another real estate crisis. We're going to have another market crisis. We're going to have another banking crisis. Well, I don't know when it is. We know what's going to come. We just don't have that crystal ball. So with that said, what would you say to listeners right now, you know, to get a little bit more of, you know, a handle on that concern for their future? Because, you know, the average consumer is usually the one that takes the hit. Anybody that I try to coach or educate or give advice to, I want them to get out of the way of those major percentages of losses. I want them to be able to recover in days, weeks, months, not 12 years. I'm sure that you have a similar philosophy to that as well. But it's important for people to know that there are solutions out there that can keep them out of harm's way.
Yeah, there are. And the thing to understand is really to get a grasp on is that gains can enhance things. They can enhance your life somewhat. But, you know, whenever I ask a client, what would you do with an extra 20% gain? What would you do with an extra 25% gain? Is your life going to really change? Most of them will say, no, Al, I'm still going to own my house. Yes. I'm still going to do this. I'm going to do the things I do every day.
Yes.
However, losses can change lives.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, somebody who wanted to retire in 2 years and now doesn't have that asset base is looking at another 3 or 4 years. Or you look at somebody who's in early retirement, all of a sudden scrambling and saying, oh my gosh, I got to get back in the workforce or I got to take part-time jobs and things like that.
Right.
So understanding that maintaining the integrity of what you worked so many years
right.
for.
Right.
Is maintaining that engine so that it could produce the horsepower, so it could mm-hmm. produce the
exactly.
fuel you need for
exactly.
to maintain that, you know, your lifestyle. It's the number one priority as you're entering the distribution phase. Because again, a lot of people just don't understand, you know, yeah, I get this, and I don't know if you do too. Well, you know, the markets return.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing they always forget is that they return. And one of the reasons why they returned is because a lot of them experienced it while they were working, and they
yes.
were never touching the money.
Right. They weren't dependent on that money at that time.
Never were.
So
it gave it
a different
time
behavior
to
when it happens losses. In the future. Yeah.
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 Took the losses, and now you can take the gains. Well, when you start taking the losses and you're distributing, it's a game changer.
Yes, yes. Well, Al, I want to say thank you so much for being on the show today. It's a pleasure to have you, another wonderful expert financial mind out there, another thought leader. It's fantastic. I think the message that we're trying to give to people is, you know, really look at what your risk ratio is now. Money completely acts different when we get into retirement. And yes, losses can change lives, but they can also destroy retirements. I think that you probably agree with me on that. So, what I want to say to all the listeners out there is that yes, take advantage of the fact that, you know, these losses can actually destroy your current situation right now, and it can change not only your future but your life as you know it today. And most people are thinking right now, gosh, you know, the market's been doing so well, I'm going to keep going up, going up, going up. Or they might be in the back of their mind thinking, gosh, you know, I think there is going to be something that's going to be happening here in the near future. We just don't know that crystal ball as to tell us when. So what I'll say about this is, if you want a true risk analysis just to see where your risk position is in your asset position today, because you want to be in retirement, you want to be able to stay retired, you don't want to have to go back to work, give us a call and we'll help you with that risk analysis just so you can see it. Our number here is 619-640-2622. And if you have any questions for Al or myself, please feel free to email us at questions@elizabethdawson.com. It'd be a pleasure and honor to help you through this part of your journey in life. So yes, we want to make sure that we understand the behavior of what money does and how finances work when we get to that point in our life where we want to do the celebration of years. But one of those key concepts that came up where Al was saying that every 12 years or so, you need to have about 50% more in income just to maintain your lifestyle today. I don't know about you, but that sure is making my head rattle a little bit. And I think that you owe it to yourself to make sure that you know that for inflation and other costs that are going to happen, because they will. I mean, think about it. 20, 25 years ago, cell phones didn't even exist. They exist today. And who would have ever thought we would have been paying over $1,000 for a cell phone today if we want the, you know, the one that everybody wants? We have to take those things into consideration, because one thing that we talk about is planned obsolescence, is that things are designed to get more expensive. They're designed to fall apart. They're not designed to last 100 years. And we need to replace them. And the cost to replace those things in the future is going to become greater and greater and greater. So if we're not planning for success for those situations to increase our income and to make sure that we have all the asset protection that we need in the future, then we're planning for failure. So do it for yourself. Don't plan for failure. Find out what risk you're exposed to and get it changed. You know, get true knowledge and expertise on your side. So with that, we'll be back again with another show soon. And we want to really thank Al for being here with us. Thank you. The information provided in this show is for informational and educational purposes only. This show is not investment advice, nor is it intended to address the financial needs of any particular viewer. The opinions expressed on this show are not intended to be an endorsement of any particular investment strategy or service of any other kind. You must make an independent decision regarding investments or strategies mentioned throughout the show. Before acting on information in this show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular situation and strongly consider seeking advice from a financial advisor.